It's 5:20, and this is the KDLL Evening News for Friday, June 26th on 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna, listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up, the Homer Spit Run turns 50 this weekend. But first, starting Friday, anglers on the Kusilop, Russian, and Upper Kenai Rivers can catch and keep more sockeye salmon. That's after the Alaska Department of Fish and Game doubled bag limits from 3 to 6 in response to strong salmon runs. The new rules are in effect until mid-July. On the Kenai River, the bag limit has only increased on the section between Skelak Lake and about Sportsman's Landing, including the Russian River Sanctuary area that opened earlier this month. The department says sockeye fishing on all three rivers is ramping up, fish are in, and the department expects to exceed their escapement goals. On the Kusilop River, the department has counted well over 10,000 salmon each day this week. The mouth of the river opened to dip netting Thursday, and the state opened more of the area up to dip netting on Friday because of the strong run. As of Friday, the state had counted almost 27,000 sockeye salmon in the Russian River. That's over 8,000 more fish than the state had counted in the same area last year at this time. This year, the department is projecting excellent sockeye runs in Upper Cook Inlet. The state expects over 4 million sockeye on the Kenai River and about 1.5 million on the Kusilop River. Daily fish counts and more information about fishing opportunities and regulations can be found at adfg.alaska.gov. The Homer Spit Run turns 50 this Saturday. The lineup includes a 10K, a half marathon, and a free kids run. KBBI Simon Lopez has more on the race and the man who started it half a century ago.
The 10K to the Bay starts at Homer High School at 10 a.m. There is also an untimed walking division that can start anytime after 9 a.m. The Cosmic Hamlet Half Marathon starts at Land's End at 9 a.m. Kachemak Bay Running Club board member Randy Wiest says the exact origins are a bit lost to time. He turned to Tom Keziah, who worked alongside the race's founder years ago, to track it down.
Gary apparently was a very avid runner, and from what Tom told me, you'd see him running everywhere around town, and he started the Spit Run race.
That man was Gary Williams. He served as Homer's mayor, ran the Homer News, and started the Spit Run before he died in 2021. Today, 3/4 of the race proceeds fund youth running programs from the elementary level up through high school cross country and track. Wiest says that funding ties back to what the running club is really about.
Our mission as an organization is to promote running and walking as a fitness activity that improves health and it's good for the community.
This weekend, anyone can take part. Registration for both timed races is open online through the Kachemak Bay Running Club's website. Advance bib pickup runs Friday evening at Grace Ridge Brewing. Runners who wait until race day can still sign up at Homer High School starting at 8 a.m., though late registration adds a $5 fee. Wiest says the race has had its share of finish line surprises over the years. About 5 years ago, a runner pushed his infant daughter in a stroller, and the baby was credited as the first female finisher.
We'd love the revenue, but no time bibs to stroller babies. That's not happening.
Reporting in Homer, I'm Simon Lopez.
And finally, the Kenai Peninsula Borough met with community members earlier this month to discuss what to do with the now-vacant Testamina Elementary School building in Kusilop. School board members voted to close the school earlier this year. Student artwork still hangs on the wall in a room at Testamina Elementary School that's packed with people. Kenai Peninsula Borough Mayor Peter Machicki stands at the front of the room and explains what happens now that the school is shutting its doors.
We're having these discussions with those communities just to see what kind of community support uses we might be able to provide, and that's what we're at now.
Testamina was one of 4 schools closed by the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District's Board of Education earlier this year to save money. The K-6 school serves Kusilop, about 15 miles south of Soldotna. The district plans to bus former Testamina students to schools in Soldotna or Nanilchik. The future of the roughly 47,000 square foot building is murkier. The Kenai Peninsula Borough owns all school district buildings, so when the district has a building it's no longer using, the facility is typically handed back over to the borough. That's what happened to Nikolaevsk, the Russian Old Believer village east of Anchor Point. The school board closed the community's K-12 school last year and gave the building back to the borough. But the building is on track to reopen as a charter school this fall. The borough assembly voted 7-2 last week to sell the building to a nonprofit organization that serves as the fundraising arm of the new Nikolaevsk Charter School. Waynette Coleman was also in the audience. She's from Nanilchik and suggested the Alaska legislature use vacant schools to conduct state business in more communities.
Because it has all of the rooms, it has the restrooms, it has the Wi-Fi, it has everything connected, but actually get our legislators up here near us where we could get to them on a road system.
Tim Brand is a Testamina Elementary alum who served as vice president of the school's parent-teacher organization for 7 years. He has 2 school-age children who don't know where they're going to go to school in August since the board closed Testamina, but Brand says he's leaning toward homeschool.
I think that they jumped the gun on closing schools to save a couple dollars instead of having a solid plan in place.
Even when school is not in session, Brand says Testamina is an important community hub for Kisilov's youth. He's afraid that will change if the building is sold to an entity that doesn't share that priority.
If I can't turn it into a school, I'd like to see the opportunity for charter schools, maybe something with a Title I program for that, and a community. The kids that are in this community still need to be able to gather together and have something in their community.
Before it closed, Testamina was one of the district's 24 Title I schools. That means more than 40% of the school's estimated 136 students were considered economically disadvantaged. The community also took a hit last summer when the school lost its after-school Boys and Girls Club program due to a loss of federal funding. State law disincentivizes school districts from reopening a school at close due to enrollment for at least 4 years. Majiki, the borough mayor, says it's possible for a school to reopen sooner if the district agrees to repay the state for financial assistance it accepted to offset the budget impacts of closing a school. Seward Middle School, Sterling Elementary, and River City Academy all also shut their doors this summer. It's not clear what's happening at those facilities either. And that'll be all for tonight's KDLL Evening News. We had help from Jake Dye in Kenai and from Simon Lopez in Homer. You can re-listen to this newscast and find our other stories online at kdll.org. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Have a terrific weekend.